Christ is committed to us, and we should be committed to him. Jesus is committed to his bride. Here's how committed he is. He's in a garden praying right before his death, and he says to the Father, if you got a plan B, tell me what it is, because I don't want to walk through this, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You know what the Father's will was? For him to die for his bride. For him to die for his bride. Not my will, but your will. He committed to us to the point of death. The culture that we live in right now, they don't like the word commitment. We don't want to be committed. We want a 100% money back guarantee on everything. We want a 30-day full fund return. You know, if I don't like this 75-inch television, can I bring it back? I know people that go shopping and don't take the tags off the dresses because they don't want to make a commitment to the dress. I'm honestly, like, we lack commitment in so many areas. Like, I want to join a gym, but, you know, what if I don't want to join it after 30 days? Can I get out of the contract? I mean, there are people sitting in this room right now. You're squirming because I'm even talking about commitment. You're like, it makes me nauseated. But Christ was committed to his church. We should be committed in our love. There are a lot of people, now listen, there are a lot of people who are involved, but there's a difference between committed to the church and involved in the church. There's a great way for me to example. It has to do with ham and egg breakfast. Ham and egg breakfast. The chicken is involved. The pig is committed. There are a lot of people that want an involvement. And there's a difference. You can feel the difference where I'll be involved. I'll show up and do something. But I'm not really committed. If it doesn't go my way, then I'm not going to be involved anymore. I'm not, because I'm not committed. If somebody says something, it doesn't feel right to me. If they look in the wrong, I didn't get a seat. It was too cold. It was too hot. They didn't sing the song in my key. Honestly, like, I've been involved, but I'm really not committed. Jesus was committed. He was devoted. Commitment means I'm all in. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm all in. It's interesting to me that people want to date the church. Honestly, there's some folks here that have been dating the church for a couple of years. Commit. Buy in. Don't just be involved. Commit. Christ was committed to the church. If we're going to love, listen, commanded to love the way that Jesus loved, we're going to have to be all in. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse says this, be devoted to one another, esteem one another above yourselves. What we are committed to defines and shapes our lives. What you commit to will define your priorities. It will define your schedule. It will define where your money goes. It will define where your affection goes. It will define your morality. What you commit to will define and shape your life. Be devoted, be committed to one another. Galatians, the 6th chapter and 10th verse. Therefore, we have an opportunity. Let us do good to all people. Now, listen to this. That was week number one. Do good to all people. Buy them a card. Invite them to church. But especially to those who belong to our first priority is to those who belong to the family of God. Commit to care for one another. And I have to just say, this church does this well. I mean, and I know that there are some times when maybe it doesn't work as much as we hope. And we have a lot of new people that are coming to Christ Church. I want you to know what you're in for here. We're committed to care for one another. This isn't just involvement and it's just not dating. This is commitment to care because it's change. It changes the way people live. It changes the way the world views us. And you guys do such an awesome job in not just personally, but as an organization, we do this. We have a sister church in Tampa and heard this week that they had a great need that they had to have met by the first of the month. And so because of your generosity, your faithfulness in giving, we were able to call and confirm, and then we sent a check this week We sent a check to them for $1,000 and said, we want to meet that need. We're committed to the body of Christ. We're committed to God's church. When Pastor Tara, our former children's pastor, was here at the end of Vacation Bible School, there were a couple of churches here in town, smaller churches that didn't have money. And they had a relationship, ongoing relationship with her over years, that at the end of Vacation Bible School, they would come here and pick up our stuff and they would go and hold Vacation Bible School off of the products that we had paid full price for. We're committed to the body of Christ. And you're committed. I've watched people in connection groups here that found out that a bill was due for somebody in their connection group and they met it. They took up an offering in their small connection group and met sometimes some large offerings. I know of one family that, one connection group, somebody in their group, the car was broken down. And I think it was a $1,200 bill. They couldn't get to work. The people in their connection group got together and they went and paid for the car to get fixed so they would have transportation to work. It just hasn't happened in other people's lives. Let me tell you my personal experience. 15 years ago on the night before Easter, Easter Eve, I'm sitting at home finishing up my notes. Easter is a big day in a church, in case you don't know that. I'm finishing up my notes for the sermon, praying and asking the Lord just to help us have a great day the next day. And many people, phone call comes in. My mom had been in the hospital. They called and said, Paul, if you want to see mom before she dies, you need to be here before midnight. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. For just a second, like my brain just kind of unwired. You know, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I mean, next day it's Easter Sunday. You can't call somebody on the day before Easter Sunday and go like, can you preach? And like, just kind of slap something together. It's Easter Sunday. And I called Dan LaFever. Dan was the president of our board back then. And needless to say, friends. I called Danny and I said, like, Danny, I don't know what to do. My mom's dying. Sorry. And they tell me I need to be home before midnight. It's night before Easter. I guess I could wait until the day after. I just need to talk this out with somebody. He said, no, your mom's dying. You have to go. You have to get in Pennsylvania right now. She was actually in Columbus, Ohio. And you have to go back there right now. And I said, well, I guess I could call the guy that we sent the offering to, honestly, the guy we sent the offering to this week, 15 years ago on the night before Easter. I called him and I'm like, man, my mom's dying. Can you come and preach for us? Without a doubt, just dropped everything and came and preached for our church. But I'm talking to Danny on the telephone and I said, okay, I don't know how I'll get there. I'll call, make arrangements for preaching. And Danny said, don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to take care of everything. He said, in 2 hours, have your bag ready. We're going to pick you up. 2 hours later, it was 5 o'clock. He showed up at my house. They had tickets bought. They had a car rented. They had a hotel reserved for me. And honestly, what was probably one of the hardest days of my life, people walked in and cared for me. Took care of me. And I mean, it's the body of Christ. And it didn't happen just because I'm the pastor here. It happens here all the time. It's the way it's supposed to be. There's a couple of stories and I'm going to just share a couple of stories and then I'll close in just a few moments.
And we share with Christ Church how much you guys mean to us.
Okay, let it go.
I went in about 2 weeks ago with chest pains and was diagnosed with a minor heart attack. And was a very trying time for Kelly and I. A lot of emotions, a lot of things to sort through. And our church family has been huge in just reaching out to us, just praying for us, stepping up and doing things for us to help during that time. Back home and just kind of trying to sort through everything, people were bringing us food every day. People were going out of their way to drive across town and further to bring us food. We had a lot of support through prayer. Kelly's phone was blowing up.
Yeah, it was awesome to see, and just saw the outpouring of love was it was awesome, and it really, especially in those dark moments, it really helped just to have that encouragement and have that love that just gives us another reminder why we love this church and why this church is just so important, and to be in this church and be connected, because there's a lot that I know being on the outside I would not have been able to walk through without just having people there, and even people why I'm sitting in the waiting room for Ryan sitting next to me holding my hand. It was huge.
So we just want to encourage everybody. I mean, just be involved with your church family. Reach out to people. If you see others who are going through something, I know everybody's been so great. If you think it doesn't mean anything, it does. It means so much just to reach out and to pray. But we wanted to thank everybody, and we just wanted to share how much that's helped us through this.
Let me just say, one of the reasons why Kelly and Ryan were the recipient of that is because they've been there for so many other people. On really difficult days, they don't make a noise about it, but they're there, taking food and offering to take care of babies and help in any way that they can. And the principle of sowing and reaping, whatever you sow, you reap a harvest of. Sitting in a hospital room with her husband, having a heart attack, she reaped a harvest back of people showing up, asking to take care of the baby, going grocery shopping, whatever you need, we'll do. I'm going to challenge you. Will you consider sowing that into somebody else's life? Will you sow that into the church? Will you be committed to caring for one another? That's not the only example. I heard this story a couple of years ago. I want you to hear one more story, and then I'm going to go on and close in a minute.
This is Christy from Snowy, Kentucky. I understand Pastor Paul is doing a sermon today on loving one another, and he asked that I share a story with you, which I shared with him about 2.5 years ago. I had had a mammogram and an ultrasound done, and the doctor saw something on the film that concerned them, which of course greatly concerned Tim and I. That next Sunday, when we came to CCO, I went to the altar, and several of you precious ladies surrounded me and prayed for me. That next week, when Tim and I nervously walked into the doctor's office, I saw Trish Spain sitting in a corner reading a magazine, and I thought, wow, what a coincidence that Trish would have an appointment the same day as mine. So I went over and I said hi to her and asked her about her appointment. And that's when she said, "No, Christy, I'm not here to see a doctor. I'm here to support you and to sit with Tim while you have your biopsy." Wow. I was completely blown away that someone would take the time out of her busy day to come and to support us in such a frightening time. The great news is this, is that when I got in to have the biopsy, there was nothing to biopsy. Praise God. He is so faithful. Thank you, Trish. What you did that day meant so much, and you truly showed the love of Christ to us. And I want you to know that I paid it forward to someone else. And I pray that she saw the love of God in me the same way I did in you that day. Blessings, everyone. We miss you very much, and we hope to be home soon. Stay warm.
The interesting thing about that was, what I come to find out is Trish and Christy really didn't know each other very well. They met at this altar down front here while ladies were praying for Christy. And then she just went to the hospital, went to the doctors, and sat there and waited for her. Trish, thank you. It's the body of Christ committed to care for one another. Here's what took place in the life of Jesus. The disciples are coming into a place, an upper room that Jesus had arranged. They're coming in to have a dinner. There's a table there. But as they're walking in, there by the door is a basin of water. And it was customary that they would come in and they would wash their feet. And then they would go and have dinner. But the disciples were in a hurry, and they wanted to make sure that they got the best seat closest to Jesus, because I guess that would be spiritual And so they went in and they were so concerned about their seats. But then after dinner, Jesus refocuses everybody's attention in verse number 4 of John the 13th chapter. He says, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. How does Jesus love? He demonstrates care. He serves. If we're ever going to be the church that Jesus called us to be, we're not just going to be involved. We're not just going to show up and the idea is going to be like, what do I get out of church this Sunday? Hope there's something there for me. Instead, it's going to be, what can I give to somebody else? Then we're going to pay attention and maybe they need prayer. Maybe they need somebody to take care of them. If we're ever going to be that kind of a church, we're going to be committed to love. Second thing we're going to be committed to is we're going to be committed to how we speak about one another, that it's a positive thing and not a negative thing. And all of us, including me, have places where we can get this better. But I watch couples when they get married, man, they stand at the couple, man, you're beautiful. They stand right down front here, man, you're beautiful. I love you so much. And then 6 months later on Facebook, wow. New couple one, you know, right after the honeymoon is like, baby, I'm getting a soda. Pookie, can I get you something? She's getting ready to go into the kitchen and like, hey, sweetie, if you're getting a glass, could you get me something? You got legs, get it yourself. You know, the way we speak to one another. Let me ask you a question today. How committed are you to the bride of Christ? See, if many of us, we've confessed Jesus as our Savior. We've made a commitment to salvation. We've made a commitment to Christ. But what's important to Him? We haven't made a commitment to that. How committed are you to the bride of Christ? And here's my third one. We're committed to the point of sacrifice. Jesus was committed to the point of sacrifice. John, the first chapter in the third, 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what, listen, are you ready? This is how we know what love is. Let me stop. Other scripture says, you can speak with tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love, it didn't amount to anything. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down, he exemplified this. Jesus laid down his life for us. And listen, are you ready? Us, you and me, the body of Christ. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Not for the world. Are you ready? He's not just saying lay down your life for the world. He's saying for your brothers and sisters. What does it mean for me to lay down my life for you? When it comes to my calendar, what does it mean for me to lay down my life for you? When it comes to my tithes, when it comes to my finances, honestly, what does it mean for me to lay down my life for you? That I'm committed to the point of laying down my life. Because if I'm going to love like Jesus, honestly, and if we call him the Savior of the world, and that he's compelled us to follow him and find salvation through his great love, and now he's commanded us that we would love like he loves, then what does that look like? And it's not just, I know some of you are like, okay, is he going to whip out some volunteer recruitment statement right now and they're going to ask us to rock babies and work in the parking lot? And honestly, that's probably a part of it, but I'm not asking that today. I'm not asking you to do something. I'm asking you to be something. I'm asking you to be the body of Christ. I'm asking you to be the family of God. I'm asking you to be the kind of church that Jesus died for and gave his life for. I'm asking you to show that kind of love. Will you be who we're called to be? The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that there are many people of great faith. And then the chapter closes out. It takes like a sudden dark turn. And it says, many of these people of faith, they died by sword, by spear, being burnt in fires, being fed to animals. The apostles, they died. Are you ready? The apostles who founded our faith, they died so that the church would be established. They died so you and I would be able to sit in a room like this today and be called by the name of Jesus. They died for that. They gave everything that they had. You know what God is saying to you and me? You can measure love. Honestly, love is measurable. You know how love is measurable? Through sacrifice. Now, honestly, we're not asking anybody to drink purple Kool-Aid today. We're asking you to give your life really for God's body, His church, His people, and care for one another, love for one another, not just be involved, not just show up and like, what can I get out of church, but what can I give back to church? And in light of what Jesus did for us, and in light of what the apostles have done, and in light of what people have gone on before us and gave their life, why should God expect anything less from me? And if this is going to be handed on to another generation, honestly, and they're going to really know who God is and really know the love of God, it's been put in your hands and my hands that we would demonstrate that kind of love. I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us. I thank you, Lord, that you loved us and that you sent your Son and his sacrifice reconciled us to you, and there was a return on the investment that he made in us, that we're now yours and you're ours. I thank you, Lord, for the apostles who gave their lives for the gospel and for the church to be built. And I thank you, dear Lord, that today in Orlando, Florida, there's a room full of people who are the product of people who were willing to sacrifice. And I ask you, dear Lord, that as we get a clear picture of what loving you looks like, that we'll commit, that we'll be the church you called us to be, that your name would be praised. Listen, every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's somebody here today that you've never given your life to Jesus, this is the real deal here. This is how he loved. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just open up your heart and say, man, that's the kind of God I want. That's the kind of Savior I want. Someone who's so committed to me that I can commit back and know that he's going to love me. Will you receive his love? Will you receive him as Savior and turn your life over to him and be the conduit of this love and this great message? We'll take a moment and just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth, died on a cross because he loved me. Today I receive Jesus into my heart as Savior. I lay down anything that separates me from you. And from this day forward, I'm committed. I'm going to follow you. Anybody that need to pray that prayer today, you just received Jesus for the first time and made a confession of faith, maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe you'd made one when you were younger, but you walked away and now you're back like the prodigal child, and welcome home. We're glad you're here. If you needed to pray that prayer today so I can pray for you in the days ahead, can I see your hand right now? Go ahead. Yes, I see it. Yes. Yeah. Is there another? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you for reconciling us to yourself and the work you're doing here in our lives. Be glorified in us. Amen. Amen. If I could have your attention here today, I'm going to close in just a second here. I want to just share one more story, and then I'm going to send you on your way. I'm going to ask you to consider, when you walk out of this place, don't leave alone. Now, I know you might have plans today, but will you start to make it a practice? I'm not going to leave alone. I heard a story a couple of weeks ago at a funeral. We had an elderly lady that started to attend our church, 80 years old, sat right here on this second seat. Some ladies right here in this middle section at the funeral hadn't heard it till we got to the funeral. They said, she started attending church 2 years ago, and we saw her getting in a taxi at the end of the service. And at the end of the service, Betsy said, I went over and said, like, why are you taking a taxi? And she said, well, I have to get home. And she said, you're not ever going to take a taxi again. I'll come pick you up. And from that point on, for 2 years until the day she died, we didn't know she had liver cancer, but Betsy ministered to her by picking her up and taking her home until she passed. Years ago, I went to a church, and I was visiting a large church, mega church here in Orlando. And I went in. I was just visiting and heard what was going on there, went in and sat down. The ushers showed me to seat, empty seats. There was a young couple, I mean, a middle-aged couple sitting there, handsome couple. I went in, and they set me down. Fellowship time came. They shook my hand, and they introduced themselves. And she told me, and many of you won't know who I'm talking about, but she was the sister of Rex Humbard. Now, Rex Humbard was probably the first, like, major television preachers back when television preachers had some credibility. She was probably the first, he was the first. Rex Humbard paved a lot of roads for a lot of Christians. And here's his sister sitting next to me. And had a great time of fellowship. Service went on. At the end of service, they were praying for people down front. And while they were praying for people, these guys went down to pray for folks. And I headed out. I you know, stayed as long as I felt like I needed to stay and was heading out. Mega church. I'm at the far end of the parking lot, and I hear, Paul, Paul. I turn around. Up by the church is that couple standing there just waving their arms. I'm like, don't go home alone. We're going to take you out to lunch. And they took me out to lunch, and they formed a friendship with me that day that has lasted 30 years. They don't attend our church, but they met me at the parking lot and wouldn't let me go home alone. And I'm going to challenge you. Will you commit to the body of Christ? Will you commit to each other that we're going to care for one another, and we're not going to let people go home alone, but we're going to be the body the way we're supposed to be the body of Christ? Amen. You stand with me.